Join the ranks of successful Americans and apply to the King's College. Graduates of the King's College have gone on to study at Harvard, Georgetown, and MIT, and to work in the Department of Justice, Morgan Stanley, and Teach for America, a rigorous academic roster, a Christian foundation, and the opportunity to study online or in New York. Make the King's College a one-of-a-kind institution. Visit tkc.edu to find out more. Go to tkc.edu to find out more about the King's College.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American right.
And welcome in the same Common Sense Conservatism, but I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes. Todd's taking a little time off to recuperate. He has a little bit of a rough throat, so he's going to be back in action Monday. In the meantime, I'm filling in for Todd here from the Liberty University studios in Memphis. And by the way, yesterday, a very cool thing in Memphis, it was 901 day because the area code for Memphis is 901. So, you know, over the last several years, Memphis has been celebrating Memphis with 901 day on September 1st. And it was a day that folks kind of hollered in with their favorite things about Memphis. I, of course, listed barbecue as my top three, with different barbecue joints in Memphis, of course, being my list of favorite things about Memphis, and always willing to add new barbecue joints in Memphis. You know, the best barbecue joints in Memphis, and really anywhere in the South, are the places, as you pull into the parking lot, you think, am I really going to go into this place? Will this building fall down while I'm in there? If it looks like the kind of place you would never want to go into, that's where you're going to find the best barbecue. I mean, the really clean, pristine, suburban shopping center looking places can have some good barbecue, but the best you're going to find is those places you feel like you're taking your life into your own hands to go into, and just anywhere, again, in the Southeast. Those are the places to seek out in the country or in the cities. Those are the places you're going to find the best barbecue. Just a little barbecue tip for you today. Hey, did you watch the speech last night, Biden's speech, the demonic, deranged President Biden declaring war on conservative Americans? Not only was the setting bizarre, and perhaps you've seen on Twitter, Facebook, other social media, the setting where he was posed in front of this kind of dark black and red scene with Marines in uniform standing behind him, you know, politicizing, of course, the U.S. Marine Corps, as he gave this just hateful, derisive, divisive, angry speech that was supposed to be about unity and supposed to be nonpartisan. You know, the President of the United States gave a political speech on taxpayer dollar last night. Now, the good news is you probably didn't see it, because ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, MSNBC, most of the media broadcasting units chose not to air it because they knew what was coming. They knew it was a partisan political speech portrayed as a, you know, bring us together, kumbaya, can't we all get along speech by this deranged and divisive president. And yet, if you did get a chance to see it, I want to hear your thoughts on it. I mean, folks are panning it all over the map. We'll share some of the thoughts on Twitter and otherwise. President Trump weighed in, questioning whether or not President Biden is suffering from severe dementia and urging somebody to very slowly and passionately actually explain to him what MAGA is. Now, you do know that MAGA stands for Make America Great Again. What about making America great again is so disturbing to Democrats, so disturbing to liberals, so disturbing to this deranged, dementia-addled president of the United States? What's so bad about making America great again that the Democrats are so opposed to? I mean, they are clearly dedicated to making America weak again, and they're accomplishing their purposes with high gas prices, inflation that is rocketing to higher levels than we've seen, and of course is actually bouncing back, open borders that are pouring millions of illegal aliens into our country where we then educate them, provide health care, provide food, care for them in every way, putting up in hotels that most Americans can't afford. What about MAGA is so disturbing to the left? I want to hear your thoughts on it. If you watched the speech last night, I want to get your impressions of it as well. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Have you seen a more disturbing image of a president of the United States ever in our history? Now, it does evoke memories of Adolf Hitler, even the two closed fists that Biden displayed as he was talking, and again, showing his toughness, showing his anger, showing his willingness for a fight, really looked remarkably like Adolf Hitler at the peak of his popularity when he was also demeaning those in Germany who did not fit his prescription of what real Germans should be all about. We'll get your thoughts on what you thought about the speech, if you watched it or if you've seen clips of it since. 844-747-8868. Here's a sample of what you might have heard if you watched the speech. Biden says that MAGA Republicans are an extremist threat to our republic.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Somebody actually applauded that? Well, how exactly are the let's bring energy independence back to America? What about let's close our borders to an invasion of 2 million people illegally entering our country and diving into our taxpayers' wallets? What is so bad and extremist and dangerous to this republic about fighting back against the COVID requirements, the mask mandates, the vaccine mandates that we're now increasingly learning were not only inaccurate, but were outright lies? The National Institute of Health just posted that ivermectin is a good quality treatment for COVID. You know, for the last 2 years, if you claimed that, you'd get kicked off Facebook. You'd get kicked off social media. You'd be decried as a conspiracy theorist who didn't know what you were talking about. But now, late in the day, when ivermectin was being denied people who could have used it, hydroxychloroquine as well, the valid, legitimate medical treatments that could have saved lives that doctors were being prohibited from prescribing under the threat of government interference or losing their medical license. Those are threats to the republic? Saying no to government overreach? Saying no when Facebook is told by the FBI, don't cover the Hunter Biden laptop because we're telling you it might be Russian propaganda. So cover this up until the election's over. We now know that a huge percentage of Americans would have voted against Joe Biden had they had that information. And the Biden administration, more importantly, the FBI, knew that if the truth came out, it could have an impact on the Biden election plan. Those are the dangers to our republic. Now, Joe Biden also questioned those who question election integrity, even though we know that people voted illegally, their votes were counted illegally, that dead people were on the polls, and that these drop boxes for polls were being used to impact the election, not only what the FBI was doing with Facebook, but actual election fraud that Joe Biden says, if you believe that, you're somehow a threat to America.
Democracy cannot survive when one side believes there are only two outcomes to an election. Either they win or they were cheated. And that's where the MAGA Republicans are today. They don't understand what every patriotic American knows. You can't love your country only when you win. It's fundamental. American democracy only works only if we choose to respect the rule of law and the institutions that were set up in this chamber behind me. Only if we respect our legitimate political differences. I will not stand by and watch. I will not the will of the American people be overturned by wild conspiracy theories and baseless evidence-free claims of fraud. I will not stand by and watch elections in this country stolen by people who simply refuse to accept that they lost.
Shall we go into the Wayback Machine, Mr. Biden? To, you know, just 5 years ago when Hillary Clinton and most Democrats were claiming that somehow Donald Trump and Russia stole the election from Hillary Clinton. For 5 years, we've been told that President Trump was an illegitimate president. They launched two bogus impeachments, all based upon lies. because they didn't feel he was a legitimate president, that he couldn't have won because Hillary's poll numbers showed she was winning. She had to have won. They had to have been cheated. We heard that for 5 years. And yes, Democrats refused to certify the election of the Electoral College because they believed that Trump had stolen the election. We don't have to go far back in history. Just 5 years to when Democrats spewed that nonsense. And now we're being told that if you spew that nonsense today, you're a threat to the Republic. And finally, Biden said that MAGA Republicans embrace anger and love chaos. Has he not seen what Democrats did on the streets of Portland and Seattle in Washington, D.C., burning a church across the street from the White House? And yet it's not Black Lives Matter. It's not the leftist Democrats. It's not Antifa. It's good, God-fearing, Bible-believing, decent Americans who Joe Biden sees as the threat to this republic.
And now America must choose to move forward or to move backwards, to build a future or obsess about the past, to be a nation of hope and unity and optimism, or a nation of fear, division, and of darkness. MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. But together we can choose a different path. We can choose a better path forward to the future, a future of possibility, a future to build and dream and hope. And we're on that path moving ahead.
Did this guy even read his own speech as he was delivering the words, talking about hope and positivity? This was the most angry, divisive, hate-filled rhetoric we have ever seen from a president of the United States standing behind the presidential seal and with Marines standing behind him. They ought to make this guy watch his own speech until his eyes bleed and then point out the love and happiness he was talking about in this angry, divisive speech. Hey, when we come back, we're going to take your calls. Did you watch the speech? What did you think about it? And particularly if you're a Marine, there are no former Marines, but if you're a Marine, what did you think about Marines being used as a prop behind this president as he attacked Americans almost exactly 1 year to the day when 13 Marines and other military service people were killed in the botched dispatch from Afghanistan? We'll take your calls next, 844-747-8868. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes, and we will be right back.
My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country.
Yeah, the Marine hymn, as Joe Biden had Marines posed behind him, politicizing the Marine Corps as he gave his divisive, angry speech in Philadelphia last night. You know, just about a year ago, he spoke at the Pentagon and promised he would never use American military personnel as props. And there he was last night doing exactly that. If you're a Marine, have Marine family members, former Marines, 844-747-8868. In particular, want to hear your thoughts of Marines being used for political props at the president's speech last night. Let's go to Jerry in Milwaukee next. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. I don't think that all Republicans are bad. I just want to be clear, and they're all like extremists. You know, I'm a Democrat, but I want to be clear. There are a lot of Republicans who are fundamental Republicans, who are loyal Republicans, like Liz Cheney, the representative from Wyoming, who had to leave the party because of the rise of Donald Trump. But there are people who are really MAGA supporters in that, everyone wearing a MAGA hat. But there are people who praise the storming of the U.S. Capitol building, people who did that, people who, like, believe every lie that Donald Trump tells. Donald Trump was going to lie and say that the election was, but no matter what happened, there was zero chance that Donald Trump was not going to lie because that's just character. I knew this was going to happen years before that. So I don't know how much of it I blame on, like, MAGA Republicans. I think the chief blame relies upon the sociopath, the chief, Donald Trump, who's been lying to Americans for the last 30 years on different things, even before he ran into politics.
Now, are you one of those who believes Joe Biden is telling the truth when he, you know, says all of his stuff that is then proven false almost as soon as it comes out of his mouth?
I try to be objective as possible. If you're talking about stuff like, are you talking about like Hunter Biden, or are you talking about
the smartest man Joe Biden knows, and that all this stuff was a lie, and that his son never talked to him about business dealings with his foreign partners, even though we now have emails and text and phone records. Those are outright lies by Joe Biden, covering up his criminal activities of he and his son, right?
When this information was coming out, I wanted more information. I thought it could have been a possible like Russian thing, but it could have been true. I don't know. Now it looks like it's largely true that his son, at least, has a lot of skeletons or some corrupt. I try to be objective. If Joe Biden is somewhat corrupt, then I want to look at it. And I would hope Republicans would want to look at the skeletons in Donald Trump's closet.
Well, if Donald Trump Jr. had been accused, and there was videotape of him with prostitutes, underage girls, snorting cocaine, naked cavorting with prostitutes, would you have believed that, or would have you given it the benefit of the doubt?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm more likely or not. I try to keep my politics, and I try, again, it's not perfect. I'm a human being, but I try to be as objective. But I would hope that people on the other side would try to be objective. You know, it just when I look at things with, like, Trump, it's like he's, on the right wing, considered some, like, perfect deity, even though he's, like, horrible human history of corruption and scamming people and being a grifter. I don't understand that.
I think I'll just say, Jerry, I think most MAGA Republicans, and I count myself among those, don't adore President Trump as a deity, but do like the policies that he brought to bear that have been reversed by Joe Biden. I mean, it was interesting last night that Joe Biden didn't talk about inflation, gas prices, grocery prices, the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. All the failures of his administration were not mentioned last night as he deflects by attacking individuals personally without any basis whatsoever. I'll let you have the last word.
Okay, well, I have a question. If it's just all about policy now, it's not about the character. So when Christian conservatives were attacking President Bill Clinton about his sex affairs, and we're not just talking about legally lying or whatever, but the sex affairs itself, and they're talking about moral values, that seems like all been a lie for decades. Even I bought the lie that they cared about moral values. It was all a lie along, wasn't it?
No, I think it was the fact that you had a president of the United States in our office, in the Oval Office, degrading women while he portrayed himself to be pristine, and that it was all a lie. He lied to the American people. There was a legal issue. I don't think there's any indication that President Trump ever did anything to defile women in the Oval Office. Jerry, thanks for your call. I would point out, by the way, that when the president last night was talking about the MAGA Republicans loving chaos and anger, I wonder if those in Milwaukee remember Kenosha, just a few miles down the road, where we saw not MAGA Republicans, but BLM and Antifa and liberal Democrats literally burning, looting, and destroying in the name of their liberal policies. Just something people in Milwaukee might want to remember. When we come back, we'll talk more about the speech last night. Also, the Trump raid at Mar-a-Lago. We now have a list of some of the items that were taken by the FBI that includes, well, empty folders. I guess there's a real security breach to an empty file folder. Magazine articles, covers of magazines, some of Donald Trump's clothes. What was the security interest in some of Donald Trump's clothes, and why were they rummaging through Melania's drawers other than to perhaps have some perverse desire to fondle her, well, drawers? I mean, the sickness of what that raid undertook and what we're now learning more and more about what they took under the guise of a legitimate interest in national security. We'll talk more about that in the next half hour. Get more of your calls at 844-747-8868. Are MAGA Republicans a danger to the Republic, or is it more the folks like at Black Lives Matter, some of the folks that are burning and looting and attacking and, well, murdering in the streets of our major cities run by Democrats. We'll talk more about that in the next half hour. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.
Welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd today. And by the way, if you have comments, you want to share Twitter, it's at SteveGill1, at SteveGill1. I'll check those out during the course of the show. If you want to call in and add your thoughts, 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. And the Mar-a-Lago raid has kind of taken a back seat with all the other chaos from the Biden administration in the last couple of weeks. But we're learning more and more about what the FBI actually confiscated at that raid. And the judge has now released a little bit more comprehensive list of the items that the FBI did collect during that raid. Now, keep in mind, they were rummaging through Melania Trump's closet. What national security items were they looking for there, rummaging through her unmentionables drawer and checking out her clothes? I guess they were trying to do a comparison of the clothes that they've seen Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama and maybe even Dr. Jill Biden wearing. But the bottom line is that they had no business rummaging into their private clothes and wardrobes. And yet we now find out that the FBI actually took a lot of stuff that was not covered by the even expansive warrant that that was issued. Among the items that the FBI seized, we now know, were wardrobe items. What of Donald Trump's clothes are of a national security interest? Magazines, books, 47 classified folders that were empty. Why are they taking empty folders? 11,000 documents and photos. This, according to newly unsealed documents that the FBI took while they were, scrounging through President Trump's private residence with a warrant that was way too expansive, way too broad. Now, again, at the end of the day, most of the stuff that they have taken is likely to be ruled either unclassified by the president before he left office, which was totally within his purview, his right as president of the United States to declassify anything really that he wanted to declassify. Other items that he had were items that were clearly not classified, secret, or by any stretch of the imagination. So again, it was a fishing expedition that we're now learning caused the FBI to scoop in a lot of stuff that has absolutely no relevance to whatever case they're trying to build. And ultimately, judges will rule on whether or not the warrant was overly broad, whether or not the expansion beyond the warrant that the FBI clearly did, again, taking wardrobe items and other items that were clearly not covered by the intent of the warrant, whether that will render anything and everything they found to be inadmissible in a court. And I think it also increases the likelihood that the American public will begin to realize the truth, which is that this raid was all about trying to damage President Biden's prospects for losing to Donald Trump in a rematch. This was all about politics. Had nothing to do with a concern about national security or, as we were told at one point, nuclear codes. Nothing in this list indicates that nuclear codes were being stashed at Mar-a-Lago by former President Trump. And the nuclear codes are, well, changed every day. So whatever nuclear codes he might have had previously wouldn't have been of any use anyway. There were also invitations to parties, other items that had clearly no national security implication whatsoever. So this whole raid was not about trying to protect national security or to collect overdue books for the National Archives. It was all about trying to smear and damage Trump before he could announce a plan to run for re-election if he plans to do so. Now, you know, there are a lot of folks that would prefer to see Ron DeSantis as the Republican nominee. And let me go ahead and calm some of you who think, well, you know, we need to go to DeSantis rather than Trump because Trump is damaged goods. They're going to continue to smear him and attack him. Yes, they will. But do you really think they're going to give a pass to Ron DeSantis? I mean, they're already, you know, taking out shots on Ron DeSantis. Now, they haven't been effective when you get guys like Gavin Newsom, who's overseeing a state where on one day they declared that everybody has to have an electric vehicle in the next couple of years, and then on the other hand tell people, don't charge your electric vehicles because our energy grid can't handle what we've already got on the roadways. You know, the attacks on Florida and Texas and Real America by Gavin Newsom aren't going to carry any weight. But at the end of the day, Ron DeSantis will be targeted and attacked and lied about by the mainstream media just as they've done to Donald Trump. So he's not going to come out unscathed with his reputation unsullied. Now, he's about to win, I think, a huge reelection in Florida. He's going to win by a huge margin. He is taking the position on issues that show that he's Trump without some of the bluster and some of the antagonizing ways of using Twitter to full effect. But there's no way they're just going to give Ron DeSantis a pass. And now we find that we've also got Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, who's attacking Governor Abbott in Texas for dispatching illegal aliens to New York and Washington, D.C., and now Chicago. And she's claiming that it's racist to move these people out of Texas to Chicago. Now, keep in mind, Lori Lightfoot has declared Chicago a sanctuary city. You know, they want to welcome all the illegals to Chicago. And yet, when they're actually being delivered to Chicago, now it's racism. It's Governor Abbott being un-American. Now, keep in mind that the Biden administration has been busing and flying these illegals all over the country, dumping them everywhere around the country. And nobody's been accusing Biden of racism for moving the illegals from the border areas to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to Chicago, to New York. You know, as he's been shipping people by air in the dark of night and trying to cover it up, we haven't heard these howls and screams of protest from the New York mayor or the D.C. mayor or Mayor Lightfoot. But when Governor Abbott is voluntarily taking people, they're agreeing to get on the buses. They want to go to these places. In many cases, they're claiming they have family members there. And you've got these liberal Democrats running these failing blue cities claiming that they're welcoming the illegals. And now they're screaming when they're having to take just a small portion of what the border states have been experiencing for quite some time. So here's Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, where people are gunned down and shot in the highest gun control city in the United States, blaming Abbott for racism for moving these people the same way President Biden's done for months.
Texas, obviously, if none of these migrants were sent anywhere else, would have to bear all the brunt of this themselves. Aren't these migrants better off going to places like Chicago, welcoming cities to get cared for?
Well, you know, I think Alderman Raboyos kind of alluded to this. I'm happy to take and drain Texas of all of its residents. I wouldn't want to live in a state with a governor like that. I certainly wouldn't want to live in a state where they are doing everything they can to strip people of their basic rights. And let's not forget about what they've done to women and others who are seeking reproductive health care. So we welcome Texans to Chicago, and we'll rent the buses next time to bring them here.
That is a great idea, Mayor Lightfoot. Why don't you start sending the buses down, let them load them up, let you pay the bill for them moving these illegal aliens from Texas to Chicago. And by the way, maybe the mayor of New York and the mayor of D.C. will do the same things, because they're just getting a small portion of the millions of illegals that have come across the border during the time that President Biden has been claiming that the border is secure. His Homeland Security Chief Mayorkas claiming the border is secure. And yet 2 million people coming across and being schlepped around the country by the Biden administration, and now they're protesting when a few thousand are taken to Chicago, taken to New York, and taken to Washington, D.C. She wants to drain Texas? She needs to look at the figures of what's happening in Illinois. Now, I live in Nashville, and I can tell you about every third car in Nashville these days seems to have an Illinois license plate. If it doesn't have a New York license plate or a Washington, D.C. license plate or a California license plate. Folks are fleeing those blue states that have become havens of crime and violence and economic decline for the last several years. And it's increasing in speed. She's going to have to bring, you know, those liberals in Texas, the few that are there. Maybe Beto O'Rourke can move to Chicago where he'll feel more at home. They're going to have to move a lot of people back to Illinois and California and New York and Washington, D.C. to make up for the flood of people who have departed those failed blue states in just the last couple of years. Do you realize that you all lost numbers of Congress because people were leaving states like New York and California and Illinois in such droves that states in the South, where they're moving to, Texas and Florida and others, are adding congressional seats and, dare I mention, electoral votes because people are fleeing from your states. So while you may decry Governor Abbott and the policies that Texas have, people are leaving your state for the reasons that, you know, they don't want to get gunned down in Chicago. They don't want to see the drugs that are coming across the open border, fentanyl, that is killing 300 people a day in this country. You know, we shut down the whole country for a death toll that was about that in the early days of COVID. And yet we've got 300 dying a day because of fentanyl coming across the border, slipped in from China to Mexico and then taken by the cartels along with their human trafficking. You talk about taking care of women. The human traffickers are dragging women across the border, using them as sex slaves, and Lori Lightfoot has no problem with that. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. The good news for the Biden administration is that while they deny that people are coming across the border, we're seeing it on TV, we're seeing video, they don't think anybody's coming across the border. The border's secure. All is well. Unless you look at reality. We'll talk a little bit more about that and how the White House is just absolutely lying. Man, I love Steve Ducey. He's holding them to account and exposing their lies and letting them just talk. You know, as a young lawyer, I learned sometimes just let the deponent, just let the other side talk. Let them bury themselves in their own words. And man, the Biden administration and his press secretary, the Cabbage Patch doll, seems to be doing a great job of that. We'll talk more about that when we come back. This is the Tarn Starn Show. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd, and we'll be right back with more.
Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Todd Stearns here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, and the NAACP's sinister agenda. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone with Brandon Tatum and Vodi Bakum and Chad Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues, in the middle of the pouring rain. Won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first class ticket, but I'm as blue as a boy can be. Then I'm walking in Memphis.
I wonder if they ever play that song at the White House. I mean, it uses the term walking, and they don't really have the ability to determine walking. Of course, this is the same group that can't determine what's a woman. So walking is something that's beyond their ability to deal with it. Earlier this week, the president's press secretary and Steve Ducey got into an exchange about immigration where she denied that people are walking across the border. Now, keep in mind, we've got video, we've got reporters, even leftist reporters on the border watching these people walk across. And yet the White House official spokesperson denies that people are not only walking in Memphis, but apparently walking across the border.
But so they're two different things. They're two different things.
But so how is it two different things? Somebody unvaccinated comes over on a plane. You say that's not okay. Somebody walks into Texas or Arizona unvaccinated. They're allowed to stay. Why?
But that's not how it works. Like, we actually, no.
Happening. I know that that's not what you guys want to happen, but that is what is happening.
But that's not, it's not like somebody walks over and that's not how.
That's exactly what's happening.
Thousands
of people are walking in a day. Some of them turn themselves over. Some of them are caught. Tens of thousands a week are not. That is what is happening.
Yeah, the White House denying that people are walking across the border. We see it on video. I mean, do these people never leave the bubble of the White House? Do they never watch the news themselves? I know they don't watch Fox News because they see that as the propaganda tool of the dangerous MAGA Republicans. But even CNN and MSNBC and ABC and NBC and certainly local news in Arizona and New Mexico and Southern California are covering it. How can anybody that has an IQ above room temperature deny that people are walking across the border? Now, maybe they just don't like the word walk. Maybe they're striding across the border. Maybe Steve Ducey needs to use some other words. Maybe that's not the right word for the White House. Maybe they're striding across the border. They're strutting across the border. They're sashaying across the border. They're stumbling across the border. When they're coming through the Rio Grande River, through the water, they're sloshing across the border. They are clearly getting here. You know, directed by cartels, being sex trafficked along. And again, if you'll watch the videos, which apparently the White House has the incapacity to do, you'll see that the large majority of these folks that are coming across are military-age males. And they're not just coming from Mexico. They're not just coming from the Golden Triangle of Venezuela and Colombia and South and Central America. They're coming from all over the world now. They've realized they can travel. And how are they getting there, by the way? Because they're not coming from China across the ocean. They're flying. They're flying into South America, Central America, Mexico, and then they're walking across the border, with all due respect to the nitwits at the Biden White House. Yeah, they're walking into the U.S. The fact that they can even deny that tells you that they are incredibly stupid, or they're taking it for granted that the American people are incredibly stupid. Now, she didn't stop there. The White House press secretary also claimed that Biden thinks that MAGA Americans are a threat to our democracy, just giving a little preview of what the president laid out in his remarkably off-putting speech last night.
Does the president plan to talk specifically about Donald Trump in the speech tomorrow? Does he feel like, you know, when he talks about the battle over democracy in this country, does he feel like things are moving in the right direction, the wrong direction? What can you tell us about what the president's going to talk about?
So I don't want to get ahead of the president's speech. It's not a good thing to do, as you know. But, you know, the president thinks that there is an extremist threat to our democracy. The president has been clear, as he can be, on that particular piece. When we talk about a democracy, when we talk about our freedoms, the way that he sees is the MAGA Republicans are the most energized part of the Republican Party. This is an extreme threat to our democracy, to our freedom, to our rights. They just don't respect the rule of law. You heard that from the president. You know, they are pursuing an agenda that takes away people's rights. So, which is what the president said last week on Thursday. You all heard him. This is what the president said yesterday, and that's what he's going to continue to say. And here's the thing. The president's not going to shy away to call out what he clearly sees is happening in this country. And, you know, again, MAGA Republicans are this extreme part of their party, and that is just facts, and that's what he's going to continue to lay out.
Well, they're not facts. And the fact is that this was a president who remained silent when Black Lives Matter and Antifa and other liberal activist groups were literally burning and looting in cities like Portland and Seattle and Washington, D.C. They literally burned a church across the street from the White House. Across the street from the White House. And he didn't condemn that, hasn't condemned that. His vice president bailed people out who were committing these atrocious, violent acts so they could go back to the street, and at least one of them has now committed another murder after Kamala Harris and her group bailed the guy out of jail. They were bailing them out and putting them back on the streets to continue their violent episodes, their dangerous, violent riots in American cities. And the president has never condemned that. And the rule of law? The rule of law? How about when assassination attempts were being plotted against a Supreme Court justice and Biden's Department of Justice did nothing about it, didn't do anything to stop the protesters who were violently breaking the law in the front of homes of Supreme Court justices? Don't talk to us about the rule of law, Joe. You're the worst lawbreaker in the history of the White House. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes. We're back in a moment with more.
These days, critical thinking is more important than ever. That's why I'm a big fan of the King's College. This Christian liberal arts college has a core curriculum of politics, philosophy, and economics that grapples with the most important questions and texts. A King's College graduate is ready to ask the right questions. To earn the bachelor's degree online or in person at the King's College, just visit tkc.edu. Start your journey at the King's College, tkc.edu.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd today. He's taking a day off to get his voice back. He's got a little bit of a cough, but he'll be back in full fashion after the Labor Day weekend. We're live from the Liberty University studios. By the way, now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. I think we could call Todd an ultra-MAGA kind of guy, certainly a MAGA guy. And Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes that you and I care about. So switch to Patriot Mobile now and use the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D, to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadcast nationwide coverage and uses the same towers that other carriers use. They also have a plan to fit any budget along with great discounts, and particularly for our veteran and first responder heroes. If switching to Patriot Mobile is easy, just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, T-O-D-D, or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and premier activation by using the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. For more details, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. Patriot. Also, you can give us a call at 844-747-8868. Share your thoughts about the president's speech last night. Now, the president's already backing up. You know, this is a guy that needs to have that beep, beep, beep sound that you have with, you know, when trucks are backing up, because every time he gives a speech, either he or his staff have to back up. So when he gives a speech, they need to start having that little beep, beep, beep sound so that we know that sooner or later the president is going to back up. He's already walking it back from his disgusting speech last night. I don't consider any Trump supporter to be a threat. He says, I do think anyone who calls for the use of violence and fails to condemn violence when it's used, refuse to acknowledge an election has been won. That is a threat to democracy. Mr. President, have you seen the kind of stuff that your Democrats have been saying, encouraging people to go get in the face of Republicans, encouraging violence against Supreme Court justices, and the next thing you know, protesters are at their homes in violation of federal law. Of course, your Department of Justice didn't do anything about it. You have an assassination plot against a conservative justice on the Supreme Court. You didn't ever condemn it. You didn't ever direct your DOJ to do anything about it. And by the way, your press secretary, as we go back in the Wayback Machine and find one of her tweets, said on March 12, 2019, on her Twitter account, referring to the presidential election that had just been allegedly lost by President Trump, yes, the race was stolen. What? The White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, saying the race was stolen? And then she went on, Trump always finds a way to take it to the lowest of lows. Not only is he a petulant dotard, but also a deplorable, illegitimate president. That would constitute a threat to democracy. But she goes further. She pointed out on December 23rd, 2017, just before Biden stole the presidency. Reminder, Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams. So elections were stolen, which, according to President Joe Biden, a refusal to acknowledge election has been won, is a threat to democracy. Shouldn't he fire his press secretary today? Shouldn't she be fired today for being a threat to democracy? Maybe jailed and held without bail like the January 6th so-called insurrectionist. Maybe put her in jail, perp walk her right out of the White House because she's a threat to democracy, according to the President of the United States. Now, she's also trying to distance herself, or at least distance the White House, from the fact that they had Marines posted behind the president as he gave his disgusting black and red Nazi-looking speech in Philadelphia. Marines were posted behind him, a politicized speech that the White House claims was not political at all, despite the fact that he urged people to go vote, spent his time attacking Americans, attacking President Trump by name. It wasn't a political speech, she says. But she also tries to justify the Marines being there, posing behind the president as political props.
The presence of the Marines at the speech was intended to demonstrate the deep and abiding respect the president has for these service members, to these ideals, and the unique role our independent military plays in defending our democracy, no matter which party is in power. Again, no matter which party is in power.
Seriously? Oh, they were there to show he honors and respects the Marines. Almost exactly 1 year after his debacle of a withdrawal from Afghanistan left 13 Marines and fellow service members dead. And as they brought the bodies back, he couldn't help but keep looking at his watch because he had better places to be. That's how he honors and respects our military. And not a single leader in the U.S. military was punished, was brought down, or resigned in the wake of the death of those 13 heroes at Abbey Gate during the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. 844-747-8868 if you want to join us on the phone lines. We'll go to James in Arkansas next. James, you're on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome in.
How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Well, you know, I'm calling in reference to one of your other callers that he tried to be objective when he looks at the political process, which I find very hard to believe because, me personally, and I would vote for a Democrat if they could put one out there that actually had some things I believe in. They can't. But I know personally some Democrats that they don't care. Whoever the candidate is, they're going to vote for a Democrat. And, you know, as a friend of mine used to say, tell a brother of his that was a Democrat, they would put a piece of poop in the street and tell you it's a Democrat and you vote for it.
How would you tell the difference?
Well, the thing about it is, here's what the American people need to look at. Okay, and I had this thought when I was listening to a talk show earlier today. You know, they were talking about why is Joe Biden making this divisive speech and everything. Well, he's making this divisive speech because he wants to try to divide the Republicans, the Democrats, the Independents, whatever, and put them at odds with each other so they're not looking at what he's doing.
Yeah, it's like a magic act. Hey, look over here, and I don't want you to pay attention to gas prices, inflation, food prices, the open borders, the death by fentanyl. You know, and again, none of those issues, James, were brought up last night. This is supposedly a non-political speech, a policy speech. He didn't bring up a single policy that's affecting the American people.
Well, and what the American people need to look at right now, and I know it's really hard for a lot of people, but what they need to look at, you know, a lot of people have a problem with what Donald Trump does personally. I don't care. And I wasn't a fan of his in 2016, and I'll say I did not vote for him in 2016. I did vote for him in 2020, but I voted for him in 2020 not because of what he did personally, but what he did for the country. I did not agree with what he did personally. I did agree with what he did for the country. I don't agree with what Joe Biden is doing for the country. And what the voters need to look at right now is, kind of like Reagan used to say, are you better off?
Well, and that's why they don't want to talk about that, James, because they know the answer is a resounding no. Again, whether you look at inflation, you look at the open borders, you look at the fentanyl deaths, you look at grocery prices, and it's going to get worse. Now, they're trying to placate people with, you know, saying, oh, the economy is getting better. I don't think anybody that's shopping or filling up their gas tank, it's a little bit better than it was 2 months ago at the gas prices, but it's not better than it was when Biden abandoned our energy policies. And they know what the answer is if voters look at the policies and look at the issues.
Well, they need to get past this, and I know it's never going to happen, not in my lifetime, and I'm 52 years old. But what they need to look at is they need to stop looking at Democrat and looking at Republican and looking at independents and liberals and Democrats and conservatives. What they need to look at is what this candidate is doing for the country. If this candidate's doing something good for the country, he needs to stay in office. If he's not, he needs to go.
Well, in a large part of why folks, I think, voted for Biden is that he was promising to be a uniter. He was promising to bring us back together. There were a lot of folks that were disturbed that even though they liked the Trump policies, they didn't like his tweets. They didn't like his bluster and his personality. And Joe Biden ran promising that he would bring us together. And we saw in that speech last night, that's the last thing he intends. Here's the real question is it working? Because as voters go to the polls in the midterms just about 2 months from now, is it working? Is it bringing folks to the polls? Now, I think, James, that what the Biden policy and proposal is in terms of political maneuvering, I think they've written off conservatives. I think they've written off the Trump voters. What they're hoping to do by this divisive attitude, like you said, is divide Republicans, but more importantly, mobilize their base, mobilize those Democrats that might stay home, that are disaffected from Biden because of the policies of inflation that are costing them more than anybody. And yet they think that if they can just mobilize those folks by hating Trump supporters, hating their fellow Americans, that maybe that will get them to the polls. And we'll take a look at a few of the polls here in just a moment. But we appreciate your call, James. Thank you. And what are the polls showing us? Is it working? Well, here's a new Trafalgar poll. The Republican Party holds a 6-point lead over Democrats on generic ballot. Now, when you look at generic ballots, you know, would you rather just generically, not knowing anything about a particular candidate, one or the other, would you vote Democrat or Republican? Typically, if you have a lead in the generic ballot, you're going to win big in House races, in Senate races, governor's races across the country. A 6-point generic ballot lead would be the kind of red wave that some have been talking about. Now, the Democrats keep saying, oh, the Biden policies the last month have been great because we're going to give people free money back on their college loans. We're going to try to buy votes. Now, is that actually going to work? Because a lot of folks that didn't go to college that are typical Democrat voters are thinking, wait a minute, I'm not getting 10 grand. I didn't go to college. I'm not getting a freebie from the government to buy my vote in the midterm elections. And wait till some of these people, we're going to talk, by the way, with Congressman Kustoff in the next half hour, Congressman from the Memphis area. We're going to talk a little bit about this giveaway plan, this student, you know, reimbursement for student loans plan that some people think is going to put 10 grand in their pocket. Wait till some of these folks that are embracing this plan because, oh, it's going to reduce my debt load from my student loans that are so high. They think they're going to get a check for $10,000. That's not how it works. If you owe $50,000 or $100,000 on your student loan, it's going to reduce that debt by 10 grand if the Biden policy goes through, which it's illegal because it's not being done by Congress. But if it goes through, these people are going to be shocked when they realize they're not getting a 10 grand check like we had with some of the federal giveaway during COVID where people actually got checks. It'd mean the difference is you don't owe 50 grand anymore. You still owe 40. And you got to keep paying each month the student loan you still owe. You're not going to get a check for 10 grand. And these people are going to be a little angry when they realize they're not sitting there putting 10 grand in their bank account to go spend on whatever it is they want. They're going to have to keep paying off the loan that they ran up. And you're also going to antagonize the people that realize I paid off my student loan. I worked two jobs. I saved, I earned scholarships, some of our military that earned through the GI Bill their college by putting their lives at risk for us, these Marines that Biden's press secretary says they want to honor. Oh, they want to honor them by letting them put their lives at risk or cost their lives. Well, we're going to give somebody that majored in gender studies and ran up $100,000 at some liberal university a $10,000 break on repaying the loan they signed up for. Oh, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be angry at this. Not the least of which are going to be the people who think they're going to get $10,000. So that's being reflected in the polls. Republicans holding a 6-point lead over Democrats on the generic ballot. And as we're seeing some of the individual races, let's go to Nevada. Laxalt and Lombardo are running for Senate and for governor, and they're seeing themselves tied with their Democrat incumbents as dwindling Hispanic support puts Nevada Senate and gubernatorial seats in play for Republicans. We're seeing the same thing in Arizona. We're seeing the same thing in Georgia, where Herschel Walker is now showing himself ahead of the incumbent Senator Warnock down in Georgia. We're seeing a race in Pennsylvania where Republicans with Dr. Oz have a legitimate chance of beating a guy who can't do a debate because he's claiming he's not mentally capable of doing a debate. But he's mentally capable of being a U.S. senator for the next 6 years? Now, granted, even with his mental disability, he'd probably be in the top percent of intellect of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate. Even with that. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes. We'll be back with more of the Todd Starnes Show in just a moment. In the meantime, you can call in at 844-747-8868. Did you watch the president's speech last night? What do you think? Did it win anybody over? Is this a good political strategy? Forget the policies. Forget his refusal to even talk about policy in this so-called non-political speech. Is it working for Democrats? Will it work for Democrats? 844-747-8868, the number if you want to weigh in.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
My wife and I have been health nuts for 35, 40 years. I've always been, you know, literally biking, swimming, skiing, you know, yada, yada, yada. Always looking for something different. The day I took this stuff, that following morning I woke up and I went, whoa. It was like the missing link. It was just fantastic. And we haven't stopped taking it since. My wife feels basically the same way. It's the single thing that that changed us and convinced us that this stuff is the best thing going.
Oh, it's done a good job. I've got a lot more energy. I'm 78 years old, trying to stay alive, and I don't eat right. This helps me get better because I get a balanced diet, and that's very important. I love Balance of Nature.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code BALANCE.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes Show. Now, look, I've got an apology. Todd is accurate 100% of the time. I'm only 99%. So when I was referring earlier to Steve Ducey holding Corinne, the press secretary, Jean-Pierre, accountable, it was Peter Ducey, not Steve Ducey. Steve, of course, is Peter's dad. You know, look, I get confused. People confuse me with my sons all the time, not because of looks, but just because of names. So I apologize. I want to give credit to Peter Ducey for being the best reporter at the White House briefings. He actually holds them accountable. And some of the other reporters are now starting to maybe ask a couple of the tough questions. It happens rarely, but every now and then it happens. It happens rarely that I'm wrong. But I said Steve Ducey, and I meant Peter Ducey, so I'm happy to give Peter Ducey credit for holding the Biden White House accountable. Now, Peter also had to hold President Biden accountable today. You know, earlier I mentioned that whenever Biden gives a speech, there needs to be that beep, beep, beep sound that you have when a truck backs up. Well, we got the beep, beep, beep going on right now because President Biden had to back up. Peter Ducey asks him this morning, do you consider all Trump supporters to be a threat to the country? And Biden says, and I quote, I don't consider any Trump supporter a threat to the country. Did he not read the speech that he gave last night? Did he not watch the speech? Should he see some clips of the speech he gave last night when he considered MAGA supporters to be a danger, a threat to our democracy? Now, of course, not his press secretary who's denied that Trump won the election, who's denied that Governor Kemp won the election over Stacey Abrams. She actually denied those things, so she's a threat to democracy. But Biden hasn't fired her. But he did give us the beep, beep, beep sound as he backed up once again after the most despicable, disgusting speech a president has ever given. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Congressman David Kustoff, congressman from Memphis and West Tennessee, get his take on the president's speech last night. Also, this giveaway for students who don't want to pay their student loans back, even though many of us did. Many of us have children who've paid their student loans back, people who work double jobs, who've done whatever it took to pay their bills. What about this whole proposed giveaway? Is it even legal when Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats have acknowledged in the past that the president doesn't have the authority with simply the stroke of a pen to waive debt? What about mortgage debt? What about car loans? What other giveaways can the Democrats try to do to buy votes between now and the midterms? We'll talk with Congressman David Kustoff about that in just a moment.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
Not as tired as she used to get, gives her energy to do things around the house.
I really appreciate it. I really like your product. I'm happy with it.
You don't have to really think about it anymore. You've got it, and it's in your diet. Regularity, let's put it that way. Food's very good.
Because I don't always eat my vegetables and fruit, so I know I'm better with it.
No more energy and just feeling pretty good overall. Seems to work so far. No complaints.
I feel something good. I can't point my finger on, but I feel good in general.
I do have a little bit more energy, you know, do stuff after work, whereas before I didn't really want to do stuff and just wanted to sit around.
I think I have a little more energy. I'm an older, disabled person, and I don't always eat properly. Just feeling a little stronger that way.
Start your journey to better health. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code BALANCE.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Yeah, and like a truck backing up, beep, beep, beep. President today denying that he sees MAGA Trump Republicans as a threat. He doesn't even read his own speeches or watch them. Or maybe his staff doesn't let him know what he's saying. He just reads whatever's on the teleprompter. We used to, wasn't it? Anchorman did the same thing, right? Congressman David Kustoff with us, congressman from Memphis and West Tennessee. David, did you get a chance to watch the speech last night? I don't know if the president did or not.
Yeah, Steve. Well, I'll tell you what. It used to be when a president of the United States gave a primetime address that people watched it and the networks carried it, and I think they were all on repeats last night. So I'm not sure that very many people saw it. And I thank you for having me on today. I tell you, though, if I'm right, and most people didn't watch it, they came away with that visual. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, this photo that has made the rounds. I've showed it on social media. And to me, and I think the most people listening and most people watching who did watch it, that speech and that visual came away as angry and divisive.
I mean, and I'd say demonic. I mean, the black and red, I mean, it was like from the gates of hell.
So I think what you're saying is whoever did the stagecraft last night deserves not to have a job today.
David, you and I have been involved in politics for a long time and have done advance work and been involved with that. Staging an appearance is about 90% of the game, and whoever did that last night, as you said, not only should be fired, they ought to be dispatched to some, you know, igloo in North Alaska for the rest of the term.
It's really sad because, you know, you rewind the calendar to when Biden was sworn in, and he talked about bipartisanship and unity, and that's good, and we're all in favor of that. But from the get-go to when the very first piece of legislation that he wanted us to vote on, this American Rescue Plan, which was purely partisan and purely divisive, up through last night. So, I mean, Steve, the things that people talk to me about are gas, and groceries and the cost of everything. And, you know, now you listen to that speech last night, you read what he said. We know that he railed on Republicans. He railed on people who are supporters of President Trump. We know he railed on everybody who isn't him. Do you know all the problems? Do you know last night how many times he mentioned the word inflation? Zero.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing it at all. I don't think I heard inflation, grocery prices, gas prices, fentanyl. And, I mean, and you know, here in Memphis, in your district and around the country, you know, there's like 7 tons of fentanyl that have come across the border. Didn't even mention it.
No. In fact, now we're unfortunately now in some states we're dealing with rainbow fentanyl, which the traffickers are trying to use to attract young children and young teens. So you're right. I mean, he didn't mention inflation. He didn't mention gas prices. He didn't mention fentanyl. He didn't mention crime. He didn't mention the border. Those are the things that people, everyday Americans are concerned about, that they're trying to fight. They want a place that they can educate their children, that they can afford to buy the gas, the groceries, the refrigerator, a new car or used car if they can find it, to stay away from the drug traffickers, to make sure their borders are secure. And he didn't talk about any of that. And the sad thing is that speech further divided an already divided nation. And instead of being the uniter in chief, he's clearly the divider in chief. And at a time when I think people are looking to leadership. And look, right now in Washington, everybody knows this, it is one party control. One party controls the White House. One party controls the Senate. One party controls the House. And it's deeply concerning, I know, to my constituents, and I'm sure that there are 434 other congressmen across the country that hear the exact same thing.
Congressman David Kustoff with us from the 8th District in Tennessee, West Tennessee and Memphis, longtime friend. David, what is your take on the fact that the major networks didn't carry the speech last night? That to me was the most shocking of, you know, no, actually the speech was more shocking. But why are they not carrying a supposed major speech by the President of the United States?
You know, I suspect that they got the advanced copy of the script, and they saw. I mean, and they're run by, we know they're run by people who are left of center and left and left and left of center. They saw it as a campaign vehicle. That speech was designed to try to motivate his base, which is across the country, which is fairly demoralized. You know, the conventional thinking is the Republicans take back the House of Representatives, and I think that they smartly decided not only that, but they weren't going to make a dime on it, Steve, because they couldn't air any commercials, so they might as well air whatever they're going to air and try to make a little bit of money. I think that was the right decision, but I just think it's so sad because this president, he doesn't talk to the people very much. He doesn't take questions like President Trump would from the media. This was a chance to see and hear something substantive from the President of the United States, and they got an extremely divisive speech.
We were talking a little bit earlier that this is not working for them either. I mean, his attacks earlier in the week, his claims that somehow the economy is improving when people are going to the grocery store and know that it's not. You know, inflation was not happening, then it was going to be temporary, and now they've fixed it, apparently, as he claimed last month it was zero. And again, everybody's feeling the impact. Is this working politically? I know you're working with other Republican candidates across the country trying to take the gavel from Nancy Pelosi and hopefully have enough of a red wave that gives us a good margin. I pointed out earlier that a new Trafalgar poll has a 6-point advantage now for Republicans over Democrats on a generic ballot. As you're talking to your colleagues and those who are trying to become your colleagues around the country, is this working or not?
No, it isn't. And you know, you mentioned a number of things that they have tried to name and rename and redefine. And when gas prices were climbing, at one point that was the Putin price hike. And you know, Steve, to your point, the American people aren't dumb. They get it, and they know what they were paying for gas before Biden put his hand on the Bible. They know what they pay for gas now. They know what they were paying for groceries 18 months ago. They know what they pay for groceries now, if they can find the groceries on the shelves. And it's not bizarre world. I mean, we know, they know, and it's just the main complaint that I get now is how expensive it is to live and survive in these times, and especially over the last 18 months. And I've done a pretty good job over the last couple of minutes talking to you, pointing out the problems. The issue is that Biden and Pelosi and Schumer, they aren't offering any solutions that have a real effect.
And they try to blame Republicans, saying, well, you guys aren't offering any solutions. And yet I hear Republicans like you and others constantly telling, let's reopen our energy resources. Let's lower gas prices by getting our gas, our natural gas, reopening pipelines that these guys have shut down. You want to reduce inflation. That's step one.
That's exactly right. And those are, to your point, those are all decisions that Biden made. First couple of days issuing these executive orders to kill the Keystone Pipeline and disincentivize American oil and gas producers for wanting to produce. We all know we went from being, in the last few years under President Trump, a nation that was energy independent, where we were actually producing more here than we were importing, to where we are now, where we are now importing once again more than we're producing here. And you don't have to have a PhD in economics to know that has a negative effect on price, and that causes the price of gas and energy to go up. And then the other thing, Steve, I mentioned this huge bill that Pelosi and Schumer shoved down our throats last year, what they call the American Rescue Plan, which is a misnaming of bills, $1.9 trillion, coupled with, Steve, the bill that I voted against and every single Republican in the House and the Senate voted against last week, which Biden calls the Inflation Reduction Act, which is really the Inflation Enhancement Act when you talk about another $745 billion in new money. If the federal government prints that much new money and then flushes it into the system, it can't do anything but have a massive inflationary effect on the American people.
How do we deal with the fact that they literally just lie with such boldness? I mean, the Inflation Reduction Act, it'd be like if I called my new diet the Banana Pudding and Rendezvous Ribs Fat Reduction Act. I mean, just because you call something, it doesn't mean it's accurate.
You're right. I was with a friend yesterday, and he said, David, when you guys take control, you need to hire that guy that works for the Democrats that names their bills, because he or she comes up with some catchy titles. You're right. But again, people see through that, and they get it. And I think about that bill that I just talked to you about, and you mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act, the Inflation Enhancement Act, Build Back Better Jr., whatever it is. When you look at a bill like that, and again, Biden talked about wanting bipartisanship, and there was not one single Republican in the Senate, not a Romney, not a Collins, not a Murkowski, not a nobody on the Republican side that voted for it, and essentially Manchin sold out, if you will, to get a pipeline going in or through West Virginia. It's really sad. In the House, where we supposedly have a few moderates and a few blue dog Democrats left, every single one of those members of Congress, every single Democrat, voted for that big bill. Every single Republican in the United States House of Representatives voted against it.
Congressman David Kustoff with us. David, have you got a few more minutes? I want to talk about the student loan repayment debacle, whether they can do it, whether it would actually help if they did do it. You know, the president doesn't have the capacity to do it, according to Nancy Pelosi, who's now changed her tune. Can you hang on for a few more minutes and talk about that after a quick break?
Sure, that sounds good.
Perfect. Congressman David Kustoff going to hang with us. And let's get to this other brilliant ploy of the Democrats to buy votes by giving people, you know, a reduction in their student loan debt. You know, all those folks that majored in gender studies pottery making in the 18th century getting their student loans paid. We'll talk more with Congressman David Kustoff about this. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in, and we will be right back.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
My wife and I have been health nuts for 35, 40 years. I've always been, you know, literally biking, swimming, skiing, you know, yada, yada, yada. Always looking for something different. The day I took this stuff, that following morning I woke up and I went, whoa. It was like the missing link. It was just fantastic. And we haven't stopped taking it since. My wife feels basically the same way. It's the single thing that that changed us and convinced us that this stuff is the best thing going.
Oh, it's done a good job. I've got a lot more energy. I'm 78 years old, trying to stay alive, and I don't eat right. This helps me get better because I get a balanced diet, and that's very important. I love Balance of Nature.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code BALANCE.
And welcome back. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Steve Gill filling in for Todd. He will be back in action next week. And we've been joined today by Congressman David Kustoff, the 8th Congressional District in Tennessee, which includes Memphis and a large swath of West Tennessee. And David's healthy and he's fit. He would never subscribe to my fat reduction diet of barbecue and banana pudding. But I'm gonna use it, David. I figure if I can just rename it, it'll work well for me.
You know, I think that's an excellent choice. We've got very, as you know, in Memphis, in West Tennessee, we've got the best barbecue of anywhere in the nation, and I know that there's a doctor that would sign off on exactly your
probably
your
give
plan.
Me a prescription here in Memphis. David, I did want to touch on the student loan forgiveness push that Biden thinks he can do with an executive order. Nancy Pelosi a year ago was clear that you can't do this, that Congress controls the purse strings. And their claim they're going to get around this in some sort of application of the HEROES Act that was applying to an emergency or the border open, you know, 40 statute that they're claiming now that the crisis has gone away on COVID, so we can't control the border or do remain in Mexico, but we can give student loan money back. I mean, there's no basis for what they're claiming.
So, Steve, it's a bad deal all the way around on the student loan forgiveness not only on the fairness part, which I've got to tell you from a constituent standpoint, we are hearing from a lot of our people who are really upset, number one, because it's not fair. It's not fair to anybody. It's not fair to the country. It's not fair to the people who years ago paid their student debt. It obviously obligates not only our generation but future generations of Americans to have to pay it down. But to your point, it's really not lawful. And if and when this case is in the court system, which it will be, you know, there are two quotes, and you talked about Pelosi. You know, Biden a year ago, February of last year, this is Biden's own words about debt forgiveness. He said, "I don't think I've got the authority to do it by signing the pen." I mean, that is Biden. And then with Pelosi, in July of last year, she said, quote, "People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay, but he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress." So this is one of the few times that I'm going to agree with Nancy Pelosi, because it's strictly a purview of Congress as to whether this bad idea can be implemented in the first place. And we haven't dealt with it. Now, I'm a co-sponsor of a bill that would absolutely prohibit what Biden is trying to do, but he doesn't have the authority to do it.
You know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, David. So I think we can give Pelosi credit for her time is as a broken clock.
she called that one exactly right, and I would I'd put her on the witness stand and let her contradict her own statement.
Was this really more of a press release? I don't know that the president's actually signed an executive order doing what he says he's going to do.
Yeah, so it's kind of in no man's land right now in terms of effect. You know, you and I just talked about the substance of it and the legality of it. On the politics of it, with Republicans. Republicans are opposed to it, but even a number of these Democrats. I mean, you ask Tim Ryan to defend it, who's running for the Senate in Ohio. He's going to run as far away from this issue as he possibly can, and that's true for any other Democrat that's trying to win votes in a general election. It's bad politics, just like that speech last night was. Somebody talked Biden into doing it, and he's doing it to placate his left flank. But you know, and I know that when you're an executive, when you're the president of the United States, you need to govern. And this is not effective governing. It's not good politics, and it's certainly not in the best interest of the nation.
I don't even think it's going to work for the people who think they're going to benefit from them. Many of them think they're going to get a check for $10,000, and actually it's just going to reduce their outstanding debt. It's not even going to put money into their pocket. But again, I don't think they're looking at the whole picture or even looking at what the beneficiaries expect to benefit. Congressman David Kustoff, always great to talk with you. Next time I come to Memphis, we'll get together, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you. We'll be back in just a moment. Kayla Toney's with us, First Liberty attorney. A fire chief was fired for attending a church conference. We'll talk about that next on the Todd Starnes Show.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
My wife and I have been health nuts for 35, 40 years. I've always been, you know, literally biking, swimming, skiing, you know, yada, yada, yada. Always looking for something different. The day I took this stuff, that following morning, I woke up and I went, whoa. It was like the missing link. It was just fantastic. And we haven't stopped taking it since. My wife feels basically the same way. It's the single thing that changed us and convinced us that this stuff is the best thing going.
Oh, it's done a good job. I've got a lot more energy. I'm 78 years old, trying to stay alive, and I don't eat right. This helps me get better because I get a balanced diet, and that's very important. I love Balance of Nature.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code BALANCE.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome in. Now the voice is a little different. Todd's taking a day off. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd, and hope you'll stick with us this final hour of the show today. Now, we were talking with Congressman Kustoff in the last hour about the inappropriately named Inflation Reduction Act, and I've adopted my fat reduction diet that includes barbecue ribs here in Memphis, banana pudding. The Memphis Fair, the Delta Fair, is in action this week here in the Mid-South. And so I'm adding funnel cakes and corn dogs to my fat reduction diet in the hope that even though it's misaptly named, it will have the effect that the Inflation Reduction Act won't have. But funnel cakes and corn dogs, that ought to work just as well. Kayla Toney is with us on the line. She is with the First Liberty Institute. They are representing a fire chief, California fire chief, who was fired for attending a leadership conference hosted by a church. The lower court, the trial court, granted or approved the dismissal. It's now been appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And Kayla, what's the prospect? I mean, again, you've got the Ninth Circus, not exactly a friend to conservative values or religious liberty, but that's your next step before you have to move above the Ninth Circuit.
That's That's right. And thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm very excited to be here. And I work for First Liberty Institute. We represent clients of all faiths free of charge, and we're proud to uphold their constitutional rights. So in this case, we represent Ron Hiddle, who is a public servant. He served in the Stockton Fire Department for 24 years, and his supervisor recommended that he attend some leadership training, and when he did, he was fired because he happened to choose a training that took place at a church. And this is a world-renowned leadership conference. It's called the Global Leaders Summit, and it's attended by people of all faiths, and it's had a lot of big-name speakers like Tony Dungy and Andy Stanley and, business tycoons and CEOs. It's very well respected. But the city said that because it was religious and it was hosted by a church, he was going to lose his job. And that violates Title VII, which is a very important legal protection for religious rights of employees. And so we're representing him at the Ninth Circuit. And we're actually optimistic because his story is a powerful one, and the law is very clear that when there's evidence of direct discrimination, firing someone for their religious belief does violate Title VII.
And anybody who doesn't believe the left is coming after Christians should pay attention to this case in particular. I think if this case involved a mosque, it would not have happened, but that remains to be seen. One of the things, Kayla, that jumped off at me is that other members of the fire department went to this same conference, and they were given the opportunity to change the fact that he had gone to this conference on quote work time because he was told by his supervisor to go. Others that went were allowed to simply backdate and use vacation time for that day and not get pay for the day. That was not offered to him, which I think really underlines your intentional discrimination against him in particular.
That's exactly right. Yeah, the chief took several employees with him who were also Christians, but because he was, the leader in that management role, the city really went after him. And yeah, it seems like if all they cared about was using city resources, then they certainly would have just allowed him to take vacation those days, and he would have been more than happy to do that. In fact, he paid for the conference himself because he knew that the city was going through a budget crisis, and he wanted to assist them in that way. So yes, I do believe that shows the city going after him. And the reality is public employees have constitutional rights to express their faith. And so there is no constitutional problem with him going to a religious event. Firefighters do it all the time, and it's a great way for them to be involved in their communities.
When will this case be heard by the Ninth Circuit, and what, will it be heard by a smaller number of the Court of Appeals and then have to go up to the next level of the full court, or, kind of what's the status of where it's going at this point?
Great question. The Ninth Circuit is one of the faster courts. So we're hoping for some good resolution here. It's been a long time coming. The fire chief was actually fired 10 years ago, and
wow,
because of the city's bankruptcy that it went through, and just because the federal courts tend to be slow, he is still waiting for justice. So, we're hopeful that the Ninth Circuit will hear arguments in the next few months and then issue a decision after that. And the first round of arguments will be in front of a panel of just three judges. And then they'll have their opinion. And then if it's a win for the fire chief, then, we'll be very excited. And if it's not, we'll have the opportunity to go to the full Ninth Circuit and hear, from all the judges. That's always a possibility.
I would think the legal fees for Stockton far exceed his one day of being paid to go to a church conference. If you look at just the economics, just one day of legal fees far exceeds that payment for the chief that day. Where do people go to find out and want to keep up to date with this? Firstliberty.org? Are you going to have updates there?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, please feel free to check out our website at firstliberty.org. We have a case page for Chief Hiddle. It's really a great story. He's a very inspiring public servant, and we're proud to represent him.
Great job, Kayla. Thanks for being with us, and go get the win.
All right. We'll do our best. Thank you so much for having me on.
Kayla, give us a little update on, again, you know, if you don't think Christians are under fire by the left, I mean, you're just not paying attention. And you know, we saw the president's speech last night where he's, you know, attacking half of America because we don't, you know, subscribe to his political views in a supposedly non-political speech that was, you know, disgusting both in terms of the visuals of looking like some sort of satanic, demonic Nazi rally, and at the same time, what he was saying, attacking, quote, MAGA Republicans, the ultra-MAGA Republicans as well. Tammy, listening in on WDUN in Georgia, wanted to comment on the president's speech last night. Tammy, did you watch it, or you just mainly watched the clips like most of us have?
Well, I watched as much as I could of it. Hi, Steve. This is the first time I've been on, but just happened to catch it on YouTube, and I started watching it, and I mean, what I was hearing him say, I was just like fabergasted that he would say he was so hateful, evil, divisive. I've just never heard a sitting president, you know, to go to that level of attacking people in their own country.
For simply disagreeing with his policies that are not working, again, whether it's inflation or controlling our border or stopping the flow of fentanyl,
correct.
None of which he mentioned last night. None of the issues affecting folks in North Georgia or in Tennessee or around the country, none of the issues that we're actually experiencing with higher prices, gas prices,
yes.
the threat to our kids with fentanyl, the open borders, I mean, none of that was mentioned last night.
No, and that was, you know, I was like, you know, is this just a speech? Just, I mean, because everything that I've heard him say in this administration is just after, I mean, it's just the Trump witch hunt the whole time. You know, we can't get on with what is happening to our country. I mean, this is like an extension of the Obama era. Now we're in the Biden era to where we're right back to bankrupting America. I mean, we see money funneling out here and there, and they talk about Social Security can't be funded in some years to come. I mean, you know, what exactly is going on? I mean, they're against anybody that doesn't support their degradation of America and their government takeover of food, travel, transport, health care. I mean, they're on all of it. And, you know, we've been subjected to a bioweapon virus, and people are still sick, dying, coughing, and, you know, we're not seeing anything but be done about that. I mean, people have lost loved ones. So, you know, we need to get back to what's troubling the working American people. I'm just an average American, and we're out here just trying to feed our family and take care of each other, and we're under attack, you know, from an administration that means to take over elections so that they can keep in power and take over the food, medical, travel, you know, government control, so that we have to do whatever they say, you know, you're not going to get these items, you know.
Well, and these are the same folks that mandated masks, mandated vaccines, told those in our military they had to take it or get fired, told people they had to take it or get fired, and now we're finding out that Pfizer and Moderna knew that these vaccines were not as effective as they claimed, were not as safe as they claimed. And again, more of the information is coming out. The National Institute for Health just acknowledging that ivermectin is actually a good treatment mm-hmm. for COVID after we were called conspiracy theorists and crazy if we were using mm-hmm. ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine to survive COVID. Now they're acknowledging that, I guess, yeah, we were right, despite all the bans on Facebook, social media, doctors being threatened with losing their licenses if they prescribe these very products that were just not meeting the agenda of this administration.
Correct. I mean, you're censored at every avenue. If people are trying to get their what's really going on mainstream media, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it on Facebook or Twitter. I've got on Gab, GAB.com, and for the things that are coming across there that are you know, showing about the, you know, what's happened to people that's taken the vaccine, how many people are dying, how many food supplies with the poultry and the grain shutdowns. If people are not, the people better wake up and get on gab.com if they want to see some things going on. They're trying to do away with that too.
Well, and the perfectly healthy 25 to 35 year olds that are just suddenly dropping dead, Britain and other countries are starting to report those numbers while they're still being buried here in the United States. But the sudden death syndrome that uh-huh. Of vaccinated people that the media is covering up, the same media that was telling everybody, get the vax, you know, they were, you know, propagandists for the administration uh-huh. and for those that were promoting this. And keep in mind, the vaccines they're still using are not FDA approved. The FDA approved versions of the vaccines, but they kept using the emergency youth authorization vaccines because then they're not liable. If they were using the FDA vaccines, they would be liable for the consequences. So even after it got FDA approval, they were still not jabbing anybody with the FDA approved vax because they were wanting to escape liability. And I think they will still face it, Tammy, because ultimately, if it's found that they were reckless or intentionally failed to disclose the dangers and knew of those dangers, they can still be found liable, even though they would not be held liable for simple negligence or for failure to know the truth. If they knew the truth and covered it up, we still may be able to stick them with it. Tammy, thanks for listening on WDUN, one of my favorite stations, by the way. I know a lot of folks down in North Georgia that love WDUN. Appreciate you listening to the Todd Starnes Show down there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about another failure of the left. Remember all that defund the police talk? Now they're denying they said it, although, again, it's on tape. There's plenty of visuals of every Democrat demanding defund the police. Well, now the New York Times is saying that, defund the police is passe. It's gone. It's over. But the Democrats are now still denying they ever were for defunding the police. We'll talk more about that in a moment as the Todd Starnes Show continues right after this break.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
My wife and I have been health nuts for 35, 40 years. I've always been, you know, literally biking, swimming, skiing, you know, yada, yada, yada. Always looking for something different. The day I took this stuff, that following morning, I woke up and I went, whoa. It was like the missing link. It was just fantastic. And we haven't stopped taking it since. My wife feels basically the same way. It's the single thing that that changed us and convinced us that this stuff is the best thing going.
Oh, it's done a good job. I've got a lot more energy. I'm 78 years old, trying to stay alive, and I don't eat right. This helps me get better because I get a balanced diet, and that's very important. I love Balance of Nature.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code BALANCE.
And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Steve Gill filling in for Todd today. And, you know, one of the other news stories that got some attention in the New York Times today that deserves a little attention. The New York Times is mourning the death of the Defund the Police movement. And they're warning that Americans will regret rejecting it. So what caused the death of the Defund the Police movement? Well, maybe it was people seeing violence in their streets increase. Maybe it was seeing police officers decide to resign. Police officers decide that they weren't getting support. They weren't getting the backup when they were actually enforcing the laws. They were being targeted. And so, you know, police officers started leaving. And in a lot of cities, we're way under the number of police officers that we need, and it's getting worse. Police officers, when they arrest somebody, see them out on the street before the police finish the paperwork. And our cities are more and more violent. The videos that we're seeing in places like New York City, where they've adopted the defund the police, have a mayor and DAs that have the attitude towards no bail, let people go, don't punish the criminals, punish the victims, in effect. And yet you're seeing people just walk up and punch people for no good reason, attack them. You know, rob them, rob little old ladies, you know, dragging them out of their Uber vehicle. And so the New York Times in New York, seeing this happen where they live, is decrying the death of the defund the police movement, saying that they never really got it to catch on broadly, that the PR of both Democrats and those on the left that were supporting it really could not convince the public that less police, less law enforcement was going to make our streets safer, our cities more livable. They couldn't convince people of that. So the New York Times now acknowledging that it's just not something that that they can continue to sell. Now, the worst thing is that a bunch of the Democrats are denying they were ever for defunding the police. I mean, despite the videos, despite the calls and the clamor for defund the police, they were writing it on crosswalks in major cities, along with the Black Lives Matter logos and other crosswalk paintings. Yeah, they were demanding it in cities that are now awash in crime and folks that are moving from the Chicagos and the New Yorks and the Washington, D.C.s, where they see violence on their streets, see crime just not even being enforced. When you see these mobs, these thugs that go into a Walgreens and just start stripping the shelves bare of whatever happens to be there. And then when a Walgreens or another store decides we're just not going to keep rebuilding in these inner city communities where crime runs amok, where people can just come in mobs and just steal from us, then they get accused of racism. They get accused of not fulfilling somehow their corporate duty to let people steal from them. Crime will only be pushed back when criminals are punished, when it costs more than they benefit to commit those crimes. And that may mean spending a lot of time in jail, spending time in court, paying lawyers, losing whatever resources they have that don't amount to what they stole. But more importantly, we've got to keep the violent criminals away from the rest of us. And if you've got prosecutors, DAs, judges that return them to the streets before they're even going through the bail process anymore, then you're not only sending a message to them that they can commit further crimes, you're sending a message to everybody in the community that, A, you're not safe from the criminals, and you're sending the message to the thugs, they can do whatever they want, and there's going to be no price to pay, which is going to lead to vigilantism. It's going to lead to citizens enforcing the laws and protecting their communities themselves. And we are not going to like that process. That's a lawlessness that we do not want to see in our cities, in our suburbs. And those who think that these, you know, soft on crime DAs, soft on crime judges are somehow going to limit the crime to these urban centers where people are, you know, having to lock their doors and stay inside because the fear of even going out on the street puts them and their families at risk, it's not going to stay in the cities. So some of the soccer moms in the suburbs that don't see crime as an issue, don't see that as an issue that they need to vote on because it really doesn't affect them, you're going to see, and no pun intended, crime in our cities continue to bleed into the suburbs, continue to bleed into the, quote, nice parts of town. There was an old bank robber who was asked one time, why do you rob banks? He said, that's where the money is. So when you have inner city thugs and criminals who are wanting money, wanting to take stuff from people who have earned it and amassed it, and they want to take it, are they going to rob people in poor neighborhoods? Now they're going to go to where the money is. And increasingly, the money is in the, quote, nice neighborhoods in the suburbs. They will go to where the money is, and the violence will follow them. So at some point, we need to make sure that crime is an issue that every voter is thinking about, not just those who've been directly affected. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes. We'll be right back with more of the Todd Starnes Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world one life at a time.
My wife and I have been health nuts for 35, 40 years. I've always been, you know, literally biking, swimming, skiing, you know, yada, yada, yada. Always looking for something different. The day I took this stuff, that following morning I woke up and I went, whoa. It was like the missing link. It was just fantastic. And we haven't stopped taking it since. My wife feels basically the same way. It's the single thing that changed us and convinced us that this stuff is the best thing going.
Oh, it's done a good job. I've got a lot more energy. I'm 78 years old, trying to stay alive, and I don't eat right. This helps me get better because I get a balanced diet, and that's very important. I love Balance of Nature.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code BALANCE.
Hey, welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd. If you want to join us, by the way, on the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. A lot of folks wanted to talk about the president's speech last night. We'll get back to more of that conversation, some of the clips of what he had to say when he didn't talk about fentanyl, didn't talk about inflation, gas prices, you know, any of the issues that actually affect the American people, but talked a lot about blaming MAGA Republicans for chaos and violence. He also didn't talk anything about education, which is interesting because new student test scores came out just yesterday and revealed that our student test scores have plummeted in math and reading after the pandemic to lows we haven't seen in 20 or 30 years. For minority students, the scores are lower than anything we've seen in about 30 or 40 years. So all the progress, what little there has been in our national test scores, were erased during the COVID crisis that had the teachers union demanding that schools be shut down, demanding that little children be forced to wear masks that we now know, according to the CDC, really don't have any effect in preventing the transmission or spread of COVID. They were just seeing who would be compliant, who would do what they're told. You know, like in a fascist society where you do what you're told or else. And of course, we had the president with his stark, demonic-looking setting last night telling us that half the country is apparently fascist and a danger to the republic because we don't agree with the socialist agenda that's being put forth by the Biden administration. So again, in a grim sign of the pandemic's impact, math and reading scores for nine-year-olds across the U.S. plummeted between 2020 and 2022. Again, we see our reading scores, our math scores among these young kids at the lowest level we've seen in 20, 30, 40 years. In Tennessee, for example, our reading proficiency among third graders is like 30%. 70% of our kids can't read at grade level. 70%. You know, if you had a coach in football, and we've just now launched college football season again, if you had a coach losing 70% of their games, they wouldn't be back the next season. Their coaching staff would all be fired. They'd be lucky to find high school coaching jobs. And yet we have 70% of our kids, not just in Tennessee, but across the country, unable to read at grade proficiency. We're producing illiterates who then vote for whoever promises to give them a reduction in their student loan that they got from some college when they majored in gender studies. Now, whether it's nine-year-olds performing at the same level in math as nine-year-olds did back in 1999 or the same reading level of 2004, the scores have plummeted. And yet, did you hear the president talk any last night about education, about the education crisis? And it was not just the fact that they can't do math or can't read it at a proficient level. It's the socialization. It's the communication skills that these young children, particularly first, second, third graders, where they learn to speak, they learn to communicate by watching other people's mouths move. Couldn't see that with a mask. And then you have other cities where the virtual schooling that was demanded, again, by the teachers' unions, that are now going to point the finger at everybody but themselves, that are going to point the finger at lack of funding, despite the fact that funding has gone up and up and up over the last 20 or 30 years. And yet, despite the increase in funding, our test scores are now back to where they were 20 or 30 years ago because the teachers demanded that the schools be shut down. They didn't want to have them start back again this year. Still the fear that another COVID push might come thanks to the fear tactics of Dr. Fauci and others. I mean, our education system is producing abysmal results. 2 million students nationwide have left the public school system because parents are recognizing that the public school system is not providing the teaching, not providing the education, not providing the safety and security that they expect and demand for their kids. It's not happening, and people are leaving. The interesting thing is there are a lot of statistics showing that a lot of those who are leaving the public schools are the sons and daughters of public school teachers. Those who know our school systems best are opting for other options other than the public schools in which they themselves teach. Imagine a restaurant where you figure out that the chef and the staff are all eating somewhere else rather than eating the free food at the restaurant where they work. Wouldn't that tell you everything you need to know about the restaurant? When you see public school teachers leaving the system, making sure that their children leave the system they were a part of, what more do you need to know about our public school system? And we've seen over the last several years that when we were doing the virtual teaching that public school teachers were wanting to have take place because they didn't want to be in the classroom with these kids that might be spreading COVID to them, even though there was no indication that child to adult transmission was even happening. It was an excuse to stay home and still get paid. And we also have found that in school systems, like here in Memphis, massive numbers of kids never even went online for the first time. Huge percentages never did anything, even virtual, over the last couple of years. And then we wonder why the test scores are bad. I wonder why the test scores were bad before then. We weren't exactly knocking it out of the park before COVID. And now we've regressed 20 to 30 years in the test results that we have. And what are we going to do to make it better? What are we going to do to make it better? Throw more money in an education system that already spends in a classroom $15,000, $20,000 per child? If you've got 30 kids in a classroom, you're talking $600,000 a year. Don't you think you could hire the best teacher, to take 30 kids in a classroom, maybe take it to a private school, pay that teacher $200,000 to teach a classroom of 30, and you'd save money, wouldn't you? There are other ways to make sure that we're providing the education our children desperately need, and yet the president did not even mention it last night, despite these test scores popping out just this week. Might have been something he would have wanted to mention. But this is a president who didn't mention inflation, didn't mention gas prices, didn't mention the crisis of fentanyl that's killing our kids, the fact that they're now making rainbow fentanyl to appeal to kids. Didn't hear anything about the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan a year ago where 13 Marines and other military personnel were killed. But he had plenty of time to stage Marines behind him as he gave that disastrous, demonic speech that he's backing up from today, claiming that, oh, I wasn't accusing any Republicans of being a danger to the Republic. And yet, in the next segment, we'll let you hear some of what the president said and compound it against what he's saying today, denying that he even gave the speech, perhaps. Didn't mention any of the issues that Americans are having to contend with, that Americans are having to deal with thanks to the policies of this administration. Gas prices are not high because of Putin's war in Ukraine. He didn't mention Ukraine last night either. Didn't mention China. Didn't mention supply chain. All of the issues that are affecting Americans, the president left to the sideline. But he did talk about Trump, did talk about MAGA Republicans, did talk about politics and what was billed as a non-political speech. So how did it play? Well, most people didn't see it because the major networks chose not to air it. So while we're talking about it, and you can go to Twitter and see the images of this demonic, Nazi-looking, Hitler-esque speech. In fact, some of the phrasing that Joe Biden used last night is exactly the same phrasing that Hitler used to decry the Jews and blame them for the suffering of Germany's economy in the lead-up to World War II. The exact phrasing. But this time blaming Republicans instead of Jews, as Hitler did. But the meaning's the same. You're a threat to the Republic. You're a threat to our country if you don't follow the lead and do exactly what you're told. Kind of like masking up or getting vaccinated. You got to do what you're told. You got to be sheep. And we have to censor truth and information, like covering up the Hunter Biden laptop by the FBI to affect an election, to steal an election. By covering up information that we now know would have swung votes to Donald Trump and away from Joe and Hunter Biden. That's fascism. That's dictatorial control by a government. And yet the president's blaming Republicans, MAGA Republicans, for violence and chaos. It wasn't Republicans that were burning Portland, sealing the doors of police departments and then trying to burn the police inside? What Republicans that burned a church just across the street from the White House and then attacked General Milley, the Pentagon chief of staff or chairman of the Joint Chiefs, for walking across the street with the president? And yet you could pose Marines behind the president last night and not have any concern about the fact that that might be using military personnel for props. And now the president's press secretary today has acknowledged, oh, it was intentional, but it was to show honor and respect for our military who defend this republic. Really, the same honor and respect the president showed when the bodies of those dead Abbeygate military personnel were brought home and he kept looking at his watch because he had better things to do, better places to be than actually honoring our troops. Now, we've got a bunch of the clips from last night's speech. We're going to share that with you in this last segment. If you want to talk about it, did you see the president's speech last night? Do you think this helps him politically? That was their intention. Did it help? Will it hurt? And if you didn't get a chance to hear some of the president's comments last night, stick around. We'll share them with you when we come back for more of the Todd Starnes Show in just a moment.
Remember to eat your fruits and vegetables. We all remember these words from our childhood. But how does anyone have time to buy, store, prepare, and eat enough healthy fruits and vegetables in our busy lives? Balance of Nature keeps it simple. Our produce is powdered after an advanced vacuum cold process, which stabilizes the maximum nutrient content. The produce is then mixed into a scientifically researched blend designed with your body in mind. Once these blends are encapsulated, they are packaged and sent right to your door so you can get all the benefits of a colorful variety of fruits and vegetables every day. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751. And don't forget to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code BALANCE.
And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Todd will be back next week, but Steve Gill here filling in for Todd, and again from our Liberty University studios. So last night, the president gives this speech that is being wildly condemned, even by some on the left. CNN hosts actually criticized the look and the tone and tenor of the president's speech, and now Democrats are castigating CNN. They're attacking CNN for telling the truth about a horrible speech, horrible appearance, because the left are now eating their own over this thing because they all know it was a horrible disaster. Now, here are some of the things that the president had to say last night. Now, keep in mind that while he specifically claimed that MAGA Republicans are an extremist threat to the republic, he's denying that today. Here's his comment last night in the speech that he apparently has already forgotten.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Now, today, Peter Ducey asked the president if he thought that MAGA Republicans were a threat to the republic, and the president said, I'm not saying any Trump supporters are a threat to the republic. It's like, apparently he didn't read or watch his own speech last night. He's already backing up. Like I've said before, the guy needs to have one of those little beep, beep, beep things, like a truck backing up, beep, 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 every time he gives a speech, because either he or his staff have to come out and deny that he said what we heard him say. He doesn't even remember what he says from last night to today. Now, he also claimed that that anybody who attacks election integrity is some sort of a threat to the republic as well.
Democracy cannot survive when one side believes there are only two outcomes to an election. Either they win or they were cheated. And that's where the MAGA Republicans are today. They don't understand what every patriotic American knows. You can't love your country only when you win. It's fundamental. American democracy only works only if we choose to respect the rule of law and the institutions that were set up in this chamber behind me. Only if we respect our legitimate political differences. I will not stand by and watch. I will not the will of the American people be overturned by wild conspiracy theories and baseless evidence-free claims of fraud. I will not stand by and watch elections in this country stolen by people who simply refuse to accept that they lost.
Now, keep in mind, Mr. President, that Hillary Clinton and Democrats, including members of Congress who refused to go along with the electoral vote confirmation when Donald Trump got elected, claimed that he stole the election, claimed that he was an illegitimate president. Are they a danger to the republic? In fact, your own press secretary, Mr. President, your own press secretary, Karina Jean-Pierre, back in her heyday as a private citizen, declared on her Twitter account that President Trump was an illegitimate president, that he stole the election. And what's more, that Brian Kemp stole the election from Stacey Abrams in the gubernatorial race 4 years ago in Georgia. He stole the election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams. That's what your own press secretary put on her Twitter account. Now, if you want to see that, go to my Twitter account, SteveGill1, the number one, SteveGill1. I've linked that up. You can see it for yourself. Why isn't he firing his press secretary today? Isn't she a threat to the Republic? Shouldn't she be perp-walked out of the White House and directly to jail? Held like the so-called insurrectionist on January 6th for being a threat to the Republic? Her tweets are out there. They're still out there. They're kind of permanent. Declaring elections stolen. And yet, the president doesn't see her as a threat to the Republic. And finally, the president said last night that MAGA Republicans embrace anger and love chaos. Did he not watch the Summer of Love in 2020 when burning and looting and riots were what the Democrats were not only doing, but his vice president was bailing people out of jail so they could do it some more?
And now America must choose to move forward or to move backwards, to build a future or obsess about the past. To be a nation of hope and unity and optimism, or a nation of fear, division, and of darkness. MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. But together we can choose a different path. We can choose a better path forward to the future, a future of possibility, a future to build and dream and hope. And we're on that path moving ahead.
Did anybody watching that speech or watching clips today think it was a speech about hopes and dreams and positivity and kumbaya and can't we all come together and find a common path together? He didn't talk about a single issue that Americans are dealing with. Gas prices, inflation, the flood of illegals across our border, fentanyl being brought in by the cartels, killing children. Didn't talk about any of those things. Didn't talk about supply chain issues. We're heading into Christmas. Do you think the Christmas presents will be delivered on time from China? Oh, yeah, he also didn't mention China, where his son is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Chinese government. None of that got mentioned. And it was not about hopes and dreams. It was not about positivity and peace and love. Can't we all come together? It was an angry, divisive attack speech that the president himself is trying to back away from today. Now, one of the other issues that came up that people paid attention to was the kind of the dark red and black, Nazi-looking, evil, demonic-looking staging for that speech. Somebody made up a tweet today that said even Satan was embarrassed by the satanic visuals of the speech. But among the other things that were done were the props of U.S. Marine soldiers standing behind the president, literally as props, using the military as props for his political purposes. Now, it was not accidental. And again, the president's press secretary today acknowledged that it was intentional and tried to spin it that it was somehow to show honor and respect for our troops.
The presence of the Marines at the speech was intended to demonstrate the deep and abiding respect the president has for these service members, to these ideals, and the unique role our independent military plays in defending our democracy, no matter which party is in power. Again, no matter which party is in power.
Does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe anything he said or she said from that podium? You guys have a great weekend. Todd will be back next week. In the meantime, go to the website and you can find more details about
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm a physician. I've been in practice for 40 years. And when I started taking this, you know, I don't like medicines, and I probably have taken more people off medicine than I put on it. And so I looked at it, and it's pretty much a natural element. And there's no question in my mind, knowing a lot of patients, that people my age, you know, 60 and over, do not eat right. And they certainly don't get the appropriate nutrients through the vegetables, fruits, and things like that. So I think that it supplies the building blocks that your body normally would use to heal itself. And if you don't get them, you don't heal right. So it's amazing. I mean, I'm doing what I did 2 years ago.
Start your journey to better health. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code BALANCE.